Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome both Ernest and Jordan Easley to the podcast. Ernest serves as teaching pastor over evangelism at First Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee, where his son Jordan serves as senior pastor of First Baptist Church, Cleveland as well. Ernest and Jordan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, delighted to have the two of you guys on. And I haven't had, perhaps once before, a father-son combination on the podcast. So I'm delighted to do that today and to talk about a topic clearly that's on each one of you guys' hearts. And we hope to encourage our listeners in that same vein. Today, we'll be talking about the pastor and evangelism, and really building the conversation on a book that recently came out by the two of you entitled Resuscitating Evangelism, out by B&H Publishers. So, man, what a timely word we need to hear as ministers, as Christians, as Southern Baptists. And so I look forward to that conversation momentarily. I do want to, on the front end, though, give our listeners a word of an update on the two of you guys and on your ministry and perhaps even personally, your families. So if you guys would update us on how you guys are doing and the ministry there at First Baptist Cleveland.
Very good. I'll jump in. Yeah, we've been at First Baptist Cleveland now for 2 years and have seen God just do some incredible things. It's a wonderful church, over 165 years old, and yet it's a church that continues to move forward and reinvent itself over and over again. We're a great commissioned church, man. We love seeing people saved and people discipled, and love seeing disciples making disciples. And the Lord just really blessed us with his favor and allowed our family to be a part of a pretty special ministry with a very, very rich history. My wife, Audra, and I have been married 20 years. This is also my 20th year in ministry, and we have two kids that are 14 and 15 years old. And you know, the Lord blessed us to be able to work together and be in the same town with my parents now, which has been a huge blessing on a personal side as well as a professional side. And with that being said, I'll let my dad tell you a little bit about himself.
Well, you know, I pastored for over 30 years before going to Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. In fact, I was the first evangelism professor in the school history. And that school predates the Southern Baptist Convention. So it took them a while to figure that out. But anyway, we went and had really nearly three wonderful years at Union. Had it not been for God just giving us a desire and really the opportunity to serve alongside our son. So, you know, we're here as teaching pastor over evangelism. And I get to do all the things I love to do, all the things I'm gifted to do, but I don't have to be the senior pastor to do it.
Yeah, well, good for you. And I know, Ernest, that must just be a pronounced joy getting to serve with and under your son. And just what a sweet ministry combination the Lord has given the two of you. Ernest, I've known you over the years, at least distantly, and have come to know you, Jordan, distantly as well in recent years in the ministry God has given to you. And I know evangelism is on the heart of both father and son, and that comes through very clearly in your new book, Resuscitating Evangelism. Now, your book came out, I guess, here in recent months this year, and we also, as Southern Baptists, recently had the annual discouragement of reviewing our denomination's baptism and church membership statistics. And kind of the annual lament and desire for us to refocus our energies on evangelism. So I say all that for a word of context for our listeners, but also as a reminder for our listeners and for ourselves that that we should be, we must be giving first attention to actually reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. So having said that, let me look back to you guys. As pastors, there are many responsibilities, many interests, many passions, preparing sermons, preaching, shepherding the flock of God, visiting the ill, weddings and funerals, administering the church, leading a staff, and so much more. But what has made evangelism for you guys kind of a first priority in your lives and ministries?
I think, you know, we're all called to make disciples, and that's our job to make disciples. Ephesians 4:12 also says our job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, which means that you're supposed to equip disciples to make disciples. And, you know, in the book we talk about, you're not really a disciple if you're not sharing your faith and leading other people to the Lord. That's not a a disciple, like learn, just getting knee to knee with Christians and staying in the huddle with other Christians. That's not necessarily what a disciple looks like. A disciple is someone who gets knee to knee with Christians and learns God's word, but then breaks the huddle and then runs the play that God tells you to run. And when God tells you to run the play, he tells you to be fishing for people, which, you know, it surprises me when someone doesn't have a heart for evangelism. And maybe that's just me being naive. But it all goes back to the fact that, you know, somebody cared enough about us to share the gospel with us. And as a result of us hearing the word, we were able to receive the word and to know the God who created us in the first place. And so because I love the fact that I've been saved by grace through faith, it gives me a motivation, a personal motivation, to obey the commands of Jesus and to share that gospel and that hope with other people and to see people saved. So when you're talking about the job of a pastor, you know, doing weddings and funerals and pastoral care and preaching and teaching and leading a flock, yes, that's all a part of what we do. But if we're not sharing our faith and fishing for people in every single one of those different aspects of ministry, I feel like we're only doing part of the job. And so, man, every time I preach, I think we ought to give people a chance to respond to the gospel. Every time I do a funeral, I try to present the gospel. Every time I visit someone that is ill, you know, I try to present the gospel. And so I think just by believing that Jesus calls us to fish for people and to share our faith, I believe that's changed the way that I look at everything in leading a church or just actually living as a Christian. And so that's the book. The book is, you know, it's not to create a bunch of professional evangelists that are vocational in nature. It's for a believer to pick it up and realize that Jesus is talking to us all throughout the New Testament. He's giving us, it's our commission, it's our mandate, and this is how to do it practically and why it's so important that we as the church do that so that maybe we could see the trajectory of baptisms in our convention and salvations in our world. Maybe we can see that trajectory change in our lifetime.
Ernest, you've been around Southern Baptist life for quite some time now, several decades, many decades, and you guys write with a burden for evangelism, that's clear, and I'm curious what you have observed over the decades and how your experience as a pastor, your observation of the denomination, have perhaps made that burden all the more acute in recent years.
Well, you know, Jason, I have been around several decades. That just sounds awful when you say it that way. But I have been. And, you know, but one thing that I have over the decades, our focus has shifted. Our energies have shifted. You know, 30 years ago, and everybody was talking about evangelism, baptisms, how many people were saved. We've allowed other things to distract us, to take away our energy and our zeal for evangelism. And I think if we let things distract us that have no eternal value, and we spend all our energy talking about it, meeting about it, writing about it, there's not any energy or focus left to focus on evangelism. I think the devil loves to see us, I say us, Southern Baptist, get distracted on everything under the sun, except getting the gospel to our neighbors. And I think that's what's happened. It's been going on for years. I mean, we have slipped for 3 decades now in evangelism every year. And, you know, there comes a point that somebody's got to stop and say, hey, why is that? Instead of just, you know, giving a report, we're down a little bit, but hey, we still saw some people saved this year, and here's the number. We're grateful for that. It's just easy to smear over it, gloss over it. And I think we've just allowed a lot of things to distract us away from evangelism.
Well, and as you intimated, Satan is quite good at that and quite pleased by that, whether it be majoring on the minors, whether it be preoccupation with theological or philosophical points of division and debates, any of a number of things that can happen. And before you know it, one's life is just distracted and has missed the main calling of the Christian life to reach others with the gospel of Christ. You know, also, we all have to acknowledge that there are times when we are just intimidated. We lack the courage, whether it's due to social awkwardness, fear of rejection, one by way of personality, being more reserved, whatever the reason, we are uncomfortable actually articulating the gospel to someone, actually asking someone if they know Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, one of you guys, and as I read the book, I it wasn't clear to me which, I think it was Jordan, but whoever actually had the encounter with O.J. Simpson, shared that story. That was just a wild story to read about in the book, and it very colorfully reminds of what is a practical challenge just in getting to the gospel in conversations with people.
Well, and I wrote that, you know, I'm trying to be very transparent, and I typically am, that even for a pastor who's writing a book on evangelism, as that guy who shares the gospel every single Sunday from a platform, in a personal setting or one-on-one setting or a setting with a stranger even, it's intimidating. And a lot of people would look at us and say, we're professional Christians. We ought to be able to do this without having fear in our hearts. But man, it's intimidating. You know, I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow and I'm going to sit next to a stranger and I'm going to share the gospel with that stranger. I don't know who they are, but it's coming. And I can already tell you, when I sit next to this stranger, I'm going to be thinking about how to transition this conversation into a gospel conversation. And my heart's going to start beating a little bit faster. And I think every time that happens, it's just evidence that there is power in sharing the gospel, and the devil hates it. A great example is when I met O.J. Simpson. I'm sitting in the Admiral's Club waiting for a flight, and I look up, and O.J. Simpson is sitting there reading a fantasy football magazine. And, you know, first of all, it's the juice, right? And so I'm sitting there, I'm taking secret pictures with my phone under the table, and I'm doing all this. I'm thinking, I'm just going to take a picture of him, and then, you know, long story short, our eyes connected. I started a conversation about fantasy football. I asked him what running back he's going to draft. And he told me, and I hadn't acknowledged that I knew who he was at this point. And I just said, hey, how does that running back compare to O.J. Simpson back in the day? And he laughed, and it started a conversation about football and fantasy football. And I transitioned that into a gospel conversation. I said, hey, I don't know why God brought us together today, but I feel like I'm supposed to share the gospel with you today and tell you about how my life changed. And I shared the gospel with him, and I wish I could tell you O.J. Simpson repented of his sin and prayed to receive Christ in the Admiral's Club, but he didn't. He thanked me for the conversation, and he walked away. But I shared that story as a way of saying, hey, every time you share the gospel, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. You're not going to feel real confident going into that conversation. And not every time, you're not going to see somebody repent of their sin and get saved. But the point of the conversation is, you know, there is nothing wrong with throwing seed on the ground. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no way that you can really fail if you're sharing the gospel, because the Lord tells us to plant the seed. You know what? He'll take care of the watering. He'll take care of the harvest. But our job is to throw seed on the ground and to trust him. And I just believe by sharing our faith and sharing the hope of Jesus, all that is obedience. And, you know, I've read the Bible a few times, and God always blesses obedience. He does not bless disobedience. We will not see people saved if we're unwilling to share the gospel. And yet when we throw seed on the ground, he has a way of taking that to a level that we can't take it. You know, he doesn't necessarily call us to be the closer. He just calls us to obedience. Now, it's a lot of fun when you get to be a part of the closing and you see somebody give their life to Christ. There's a lot of a lot of energy and a lot of excitement that comes from that. But at the end of the day, you know, we just have to be obedient to take that next step. And hopefully that's something that this book will do, is just fan the flame of evangelism in somebody's life where they're willing to do something that may be uncomfortable or a little bit against what they would tend to do in the flesh.
So for those listening to our podcast, and my listeners tend to be pastors, local church ministers, seminary students, help our listeners to think through, like, what are warning signs that a church is insufficiently focused on evangelism? Now, obviously, one way would be to look at, did we baptize anyone last year or not? If so, how many, et cetera, et cetera. But perhaps further upstream than that, not just what's going on or not going on in the baptistry, what are some indicators that maybe a church has lost focus?
Hey, Jason, let me address that one. I think one of these warning signs is to ask the question, hey, what are we talking about? I mean, as a church leadership team, as a group of deacons, Sunday school leaders, what is it we're talking about? Here's another question. When do we stop celebrating baptisms? I mean, here at First Cleveland, we celebrate every baptism. And what I mean by celebrate, I'm talking about everyone in the building is applauding and rejoicing over every baptism.
That's good.
Okay, so hey, what are you celebrating as a church? What are you celebrating as the pastor, as a leadership team? What are we talking about? Well, I was at a staff meeting yesterday, and we talked about how many need to be baptized this summer. We've got some events going on this week, and talking about the goal is to see 15 to 20 people baptized this week through Vacation Bible School and through some other ministries we have going. So that's what we're talking about in meetings. The leadership is keeping that in front of us to let everybody know on the team, our goal here is to point people to Christ, give them the opportunity to be saved, and lead them to be baptized. And I think if we stop celebrating it, if we take our time and energy and thoughts always talking about something else, I think it's a warning sign of a lack of evangelism.
Thank you. Jordan, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I will say in those staff meetings, we're not just saying, you know, we expect to have 20 people baptized this week. We're basing that off of the activity of God. And so online, every single week, we're seeing people respond to the gospel, be saved. They're texting in their responses to us to allow us to connect with them personally. And so we have a long list of people that have made this decision that we're following up with. And so we're praying that we can follow up in such a way that allows them to take that next step of faith. You know, I understand there are some churches, there are many churches that don't see that kind of activity, and they hear those kind of numbers and they're kind of, you know, kind of roll your eyes at those numbers. And I get that. I've been in those churches before. My first church had 60 people in it. And, you know, we would celebrate if we baptized two or three in a month or even a year at some point. But here's the thing. I think the takeaway is this. A lot of churches are relying on the pastor to lead everyone to Jesus. But God calls every Christian to point people to Jesus. And so when the Christians get on fire and understand that the Great Commission applies to them, that's when you get to start seeing some exciting things happen. And when Christians start leading Christians to faith in Christ, it gives them a motivation to be on mission all the time. And so that's our hope and prayer, is that it would be beyond our staff. I can tell you, once a month, we have a deacons meeting. And in every single deacons meeting, my dad spends about 15 to 20 minutes in some kind of evangelism training with our deacons. Because your job isn't just to serve and to pass plates and to hold doors. Your job is to be the tip of the spear for the church and to be leading in areas that Jesus tells us to focus on. And one of those things is evangelism. And so we have intentional evangelism training for our deacons. We do the same thing church-wide. You know, we lead evangelism classes at our church and try to train people in different methods that can help people communicate the gospel clearly. My dad leads that on an ongoing basis at our church, and we were able to train hundreds of people last year in personal evangelism and then mobilize them in our community. And so the idea is this. If you don't have a target with evangelism, if evangelism isn't a part of the target that you're shooting for, you're not going to hit it. And we see a lot of churches that have a lot of targets, but evangelism, when evangelism is not one of those things, then that's going to lead to an unevangelistic church. And there are many churches that are not seeing a harvest simply because we haven't been intentional to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry in the areas that God tells us to do so.
Thank you, Jordan. Let me try to pull the conversation together with one last question for perhaps each of you to speak into, and that is this: for those listening who, man, they're resonating with your saying, they have that concern. And as they hear us talk, they sense their church is adrift. Their church has lost focus. They aren't leading their congregation to be more intentional about evangelism. What would you guys say to them? What word of encouragement, what word of counsel would you give them to get their church reprioritized on evangelism?
I would say, first of all, be encouraged, because all the pressure is not on you. You don't have the ability to save anybody. Jesus does the saving. The Holy Spirit is working. But I would just say, be encouraged in the fact that we do serve a God that desires to see people saved. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, and all of us are surrounded by lost people every single day. And so I would say, you know, this is an opportunity. If you are frustrated, this is an opportunity just to make a decision, a personal decision, that you're going to be willing to do the uncomfortable and go the second mile in an area that may not be something that you do a lot. And simply by sharing your faith, I would encourage you to do so on as often as you can do it. But then to encourage your church by sharing those stories. I try to share personal stories about sharing my faith. You know, I had the opportunity to lead one of my waiters to the Lord, and that led to him leading his wife to the Lord. And now they're helping us with launching a Spanish-speaking ministry in our church. And it's kind of cool to see the progression and how God worked and how he connected us. But when I get to share that story with our church or even beyond our church, you know, it's an encouragement to somebody out there that says, well, I have a waiter every day at lunch, and maybe I should offer to pray for them. Maybe I should ask them about their relationship with Jesus. And so when you share personal stories of sharing your faith, it encourages and equips other people to do the same thing. The other thing I would encourage a pastor to do is end every single sermon. The final sermon point of every sermon, I believe, ought to be a full gospel presentation with an opportunity for the listener to respond and to accept Christ. And you're saying, well, man, I'm preaching to the same people every single week. Why would I do that? First of all, you don't know if everybody's saved. And second of all, I believe when you share the gospel as a part of your message, it's basically an evangelism class that they didn't sign up for. When I share the gospel to my congregation, I look at that as an opportunity for them to hear the gospel one more time and for me to basically subliminally train my people on how to share the gospel as they walk through their life Monday through Saturday. And so I would say, man, just be faithful, take a chance on the Lord, understand that he's the closer, but that he can use you. Share your faith as much as you can. Tell those stories to your people. Share the gospel at the end of your message and trust the Lord for the results. Ultimately, you're not responsible for the results, but you are responsible for your step of obedience. And God always blesses obedience.
You know, and I would just piggyback that. You know, Jason, my mentor in evangelism was Daryl Robinson. And I remember years ago, Daryl taught me a great working definition of evangelism. And the definition is real simple. It's taking the initiative to share Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. That little definition I've been using for 35, 40 years in training people in evangelism, for them to realize that God expects them to take the initiative. And we struggle at that. But what helps people is to become more soul conscious as they move throughout a community, whether it's at a restaurant or wherever, to start seeing people like Jesus sees people, lost, hurting, lonely, seeking, guilty. Start seeing people like Jesus sees people, not a waiter, not a gas attendant, you know, not somebody who does your hair, but all those people, start seeing them as Jesus sees them. So becoming more soul conscious, that I think that starts with our leadership becoming soul conscious. Hey, if a leader is soul conscious, the people will follow. And as the leader becomes more soul conscious, the people will become more soul conscious and start seeing people like Jesus sees them. And when that happens, you're on your way to at least moving down the field a little bit in the area of evangelism.
Jordan and Ernest, thank you so much for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. And I want to commend your book one more time, Resuscitating Evangelism, out recently by B&H Publishers. It's a quick, easy read, but it's also a needed read. And I pray our listeners will turn to it, will be encouraged in their personal evangelism and the ministries that the Lord has entrusted to them. Friends, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.